You're now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Noonan. A Place of Refuge Noonan is located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us for more exclusive information and updates, download our church app, A Place of Refuge Noonan, or visit our church website at apor-noonan.org. Now, let's join in for today's message.
Many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And if we're led by the Spirit of God, we're going to be intelligent saints. And Paul says here that I speak as to wise men or intelligent saints. Based upon all that I have said thus far, our subject this morning is simply intelligent saints will flee idolatry. Intelligent saints will flee idolatry. I want to talk from a subject. Intelligent saints will flee idolatry. And our subtopic this morning is simply a new way of living. A new way of living. Let's give God a praise for the subject and the subtopic. Come on, let's give him a tremendous hand of praise for our subject, for our text, and for his presence. Intelligent saints will flee idolatry. Remember what I said earlier? We're going to hear from God today. We've been hearing from him, and we're going to hear from him some more in this word. Trust me. Intelligent saints will flee idolatry. And notice again, Paul talked about in Romans that we should walk in the newness of life. To walk, number one, has to do with a way of living or a person's lifestyle. A walk simply means a way of living. Walk in the newness of life. Walk, again, a way of living or a person's lifestyle. Once we get in Christ, and we're baptized into him, our walk is a new walk. Our way of living is a new way of living. Our lifestyle is a new lifestyle. New simply means it is a change for the better. So my walk is better. My way of living is better. My lifestyle is better. How often do I teach us that whenever we come into better, it should provoke us or cause us to do better? I said, whenever we come into better, it should cause us to do better, to live better, to think better, to talk better, and to do better. But often this is not the case. Because though we have been exposed when it comes to some of us to better, we're still not walking better. We're still not thinking better. We're still not talking better. And there's a reason for that. Notice that Paul says to the church, shall we continue in sin? Shall we continue in evil? Shall we continue in darkness? Shall we continue in idolatry? Certainly not. The gospel teaches us that the problem with darkness or with evil or idolatry is that men love darkness rather than light. I'm going to say it again. The problem with darkness, the reason folk can't walk away from it is because they love it. Come on. Don't sit there and act like you were born saved. The problem with a lot of us, the reason it took many of us so long to finally give in to God, oh, preacher, pastor, is because you love your darkness. Oh, I need to break it down. You love the mess you were wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in. Oh, you ought to shout to somebody, show he right, show. Well, you don't. You shouldn't be afraid to admit it. Look at one more person and say, show he right. No need in pretending. All of us loved our darkness. Even now, the reason some of you won't get saved is because you love darkness. Pastor, I like what I'm doing. Come on, I like what I'm doing. I know what the Bible said, but I love doing me. I love doing my thing. I love having it my way. But I'm going to preach it this morning because loving your way will carry you straight to hell. I'm going to say it again. Loving your way will carry you straight to hell. And God ain't sending nobody to hell. They beating the door down to get into hell. Come on. We got to keep it right. We got to keep it 66. So somebody that loves darkness today will recognize that we used to be there. Some of us love cheating. Some of us love stealing. Some of us love the alcohol. Some of us love the drugs. Ooh, some of us love the fornication. The clubs. But listen. If the truth be told, all of it was carrying us to hell. All of it. See, in this new way of living, redeemed from something to something. In this new way of living, we have to learn to hate. See, we're born loving evil. You have to understand that. The nature is in us. Come on, we don't have to be taught. It's in us at birth to love evil. That's the reason you don't have to teach a baby to lie, but you got to teach them to tell the truth. Why? It's in us. Come on, y'all know I'm right. I said it's in us. Already to love evil. Come on. How many men just remember that it was in you? And I don't want to get nobody in trouble today. It was just in you to desire more than one woman. I got four real brothers in here. If I ain't got, I got four real, it was in us. To desire more than one woman. It was in us. But we are redeemed from something to something. And so we have to learn when you get into God and you get in Him right, you have to learn, you have to be taught to hate evil. And wouldn't it be wonderful if evil looked evil? Wouldn't it help you out a whole lot? That if evil would have stamped on it hell, fire, burning with coal, worms that die not. But evil don't look like that. Evil actually appears good. I told you gonna hear from God. That's what the deception is all about. Satan causing what's wrong to look right. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with it. I mean, how many of you ever have somebody tell you that? Well, I don't really see no harm in it. But see, you're looking through your own eyes. Now, before I deal with the one evil that the Holy Spirit led me to deal with, please understand, saints, that even as born again believers, we have to learn how to hate certain things about ourselves. I pause for a reason. Isn't it amazing, baffling, how quick we are to know what we hate about others, but there are still some things. I said there are still some things that many of us have not learned to hate about ourselves. And see, until you learn to hate certain stuff about yourself, there is no reason change. See, you can be in the church, but you still have that tendency to be jealous of other people. See, you got to learn to hate that about yourself. You got to learn to look in the mirror and say, here I go again. I should be happy for my sister. But there is something in me that causes me to be jealous of her. See, you got to hate that about yourself. Some of you who still love to gossip, who still love having your nose dipped all the way in to other folk business, you have to learn to hate that about yourself. See, folk don't, a lot of folk don't like this kind of thing. You have to learn to hate that about yourself. You know you're not in that conversation. You're in another conversation. Why is your ear trying to listen to what you shouldn't be listening to? You got to learn to hate that about yourself. Because if you don't learn to hate certain things about yourself, you're never going to change. I'm finna tell on myself. I had to learn. I ain't gonna give y'all my list of what I hate about myself. But I had to learn to hate about myself this tendency. I got some kinfolks in here to always think that I'm right. Ooh, I told you I got some kinfolks in here. I said I got some kinfolk in here, not natural kin. I got some folk. Here's the thing, you are still like that, but I've changed. See, I've learned to hate that about myself, and it made me a better listener. Because it said
said to me, you don't have all the answer. It made me the prayer warrior that I am today, because I know that I gotta seek him. I gotta acknowledge him in all of my ways.
See, there are certain things, I gotta move on. There are certain things that will never change about us until we start hating certain things. Because see, when you love something about yourself that's wrong, I got to move on. You tend to make excuses for being that way. No, boy. No, sir, man. You got to grow up. No, sir. You got to stop acting like a child. There are certain men that they need to hate that about themselves. That they still love their boyish ways. Gotta learn to hate that. But notice, whoo, quiet in the house. And don't you dare try to play me now. Like, Pastor, I just love everything about myself. You're lying. Listen, if you are there, I'm telling you right now, you're not looking close enough. You ain't looking close enough. You ain't putting yourself up under the spiritual microscope. You are not looking close enough. But the one thing that the Holy Spirit wants me to deal with this morning is that we have to learn to hate idolatry. It's going to be a little quiet. Idolatry is number one, the worship of idols. And see, we live in a nation that loves its idols. Y'all give me amen. You know it's right. We live in a nation. We're not the only nation, but certainly we live in a nation that loves its idols. We live in a nation that is now polytheistic. We live in a nation that worships many gods. See, to be monotheistic is the worship of only one God. And see, when you get in Christ right, you only worship one God. One God. I'm sold out to him. I said, I'm sold out to him. I don't believe in worshiping idols. What is an idol, Pastor? To put it plainly, an idol is simply a pseudo or false God. An idol is a pseudo or a false God. Through Moses in the book of Leviticus, God taught the Israelites from the beginning, you got to listen carefully, that you should not make unto yourselves idols. Did y'all catch that? You shall not make unto yourselves idols. Idols are the creation of man. Well, why would I worship something that I? Oh, why would anybody worship a Buddha? A statue that they have to bathe. A statue that they have to keep painted. If I gotta keep my God up, he ain't a God. He ain't a God. If I gotta carry my God around everywhere I go, he ain't a God, because God is supposed to carry me. Oh, somebody better tell somebody, he got me. My God got me. I ain't got my God. There was a time in Israel where Israel worshiped idols so bad that they put a statue, I believe the name of it was Dagon, into the same place as the ark, the presence of God. And every morning that they would come back in that room, Dagon was falling over on his face. Oh, what was God teaching? That I will have no other gods. Now who gonna serve a God that you gotta pick up? God, I'm teaching right. See, this is the reason you don't worship man. You don't worship preacher. You don't worship pastor. You don't worship bishop. Because all men are subject to fall. You honor pastor, but you never worship pastor. Come on. Come on, somebody. Finally, an idol is anything we put before Jesus. Anything we put before Jesus is an idol. You can make your spouse your idol. You can make your children your idol. You can make your job your idol. Not knowing that when you die, many jobs are no longer even going to think about you. Yet you had the audacity, to worship that position, to worship your salary. See, I heard my God say to me that I will give you power to get wealth. I don't have to serve an idol to be rich. I don't have to serve an idol to have things. See, some of us, the word is hitting us because you have put things before Jesus. You have put things before the Most High, before Yahweh, before Jehovah. And whenever you make yourselves idols, you are opening up the door for many curses. Are you hearing me? And again, we live in a nation that has no problem worshiping people. You don't bow down to a man. Some of the greatest idolatry is taking place in Israel. Even throughout all that we have been celebrating, you still have people bowing to statues, worshiping the creation of what man has created. Come on, God didn't call us to this. Come on, somebody. I said, God didn't call us to this foolishness. Why worship an idol who can't? Who can't hear? Who can't move? See, I gotta worship God because when I find myself in trouble, I know He's a deliverer. When I find sickness in my body, I know He's a healer. But see, your idol can't heal you. Some of us don't give an account for the things we put before God. That you made that your idol. You have certain folk, they won't get saved unless somebody else gets saved. Don't you know that person is your idol? You worship that person. No, I'm going to teach it right. Look at Romans 12. Yeah, we need to hear from God today. And we're hearing from Him right now. He talking to me. Notice what the word of God says. Y'all still in here, ain't you? Notice what he says in Romans 12 and 9. He said, let love be without hypocrisy. See, as children of God, our love for him, our love for one another needs to be genuine. Come on, y'all. It needs to be genuine. When you love in hypocrisy, you love one person, but you don't love another person. You'll forgive this person, but you won't forgive that person. You'll be kind to them, but you won't be kind to them. You're loving, and your love is hypocrisy. And some of us need to hate that about ourselves. Pastor, I treat certain folk right, but others I don't. You need to hate that about yourself. Notice what he said, because I'm focusing on the latter clause. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. To abhor is to regard with disgust and hatred. To regard with disgust and hatred. Now, we never hate the sinner. Come on. Come on. We never hate the sinner because we used to be a sinner. We never hate the sinner, but we hate the sin. Come on, y'all got to get this. You got to get this. For God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. If I am of God, I learn to hate what he hates. Come on, I said, as a child of God, I learn to hate what he hates. This is when Paul is teaching the church at Rome. Notice, abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. This word cling has to do with cleaving to, or being glued to, or being cemented to what is good. Who's good? God is good. The only way I can stick with God, cling to him. Y'all better hear me. Because you got a lot of folks that say, well, you know, I love God, but your lifestyle don't speak it. Come on, your lifestyle don't speak. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. No man can serve two masters. With the Bible teach, for he will love the one, he's going to hate the other. And see, here he's saying, abhor what is evil. We have to learn, saints, that if a thing is evil, no matter how much fun folks say it is, you have to learn to hate that. Come on. Because idolatry will send you. Saint Pastor Cochran, this is the Bible. Because every one of us are going to stand before God and give an account for what we loved and for what we hated. It's going to be a sad day for those who stand before him, and throughout your life, you love. Even when you heard his word, you kept loving evil. You kept putting things before him. Even as we focus on the resurrection, there is yet in many churches this morning, idolatry. See, because Satan or the devil himself knows that as children of the Most High God, we are to worship him only. Notice again what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. I'm going somewhere. Y'all hang in. 1 Corinthians. Notice back in chapter 10. Notice verse 7. Come on, turn them Bible. Let me hit them pages, flip. Not trying to be your favorite preacher today. Trying to make sure, no, I'm being serious, that we hear from God. See, this morning there's going to be a lot of entertaining in churches. Preachers telling a lot of jokes, keeping folk laughing. You know what that's all designed to do? To keep people comfortable in their sin. But see, you know what God let me know? I want them to be uncomfortable this morning. Now, who am I to change what he wants? Same word I preach, same word I live by. And do not become, verse 7, idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play. This is a quote from Exodus 32. When the children of Israel entered into idolatry, while Moses was in the mount, the holy mount, hearing from God, whoa, getting a word for the people to live by. Yet at the time he's receiving the oracles, the people are in the valley playing. Same thing goes on at this church. Same thing goes on in many anointed houses. Anointed men and women receiving the word to give to the people, but the people are busy playing. Wrapped up in idolatry. So as Moses is on the mount, receiving the word, he said, God says to Moses, get down. For the people, I'm paraphrasing, are sinning. Come down off the Mount Moses. Go, because the people are sinning. They couldn't even wait until Moses got back with their rhema word. And they were back in idolatry. You better hear me today, because some of you, God will send you in the church, clean you up, and you go back to your idols, to your idolatry. And the people said to Aaron, make us a god. Listen to me. As for this Moses, we don't even know where he's at. And we ready to go back into bondage. Oh, I'm teaching better than some of y'all. Amen. See, idols will always carry us back into. Don't care how good she looks. I don't care how good he looks. If it is not of God, it will carry you back into. Make us a god. Fashion us a god. As good as God had been to them, they still wanted their idols. And Aaron took the earrings, threw them in the fire, and fashioned them a golden calf. And Israel began dancing in a perverted way as they worship this golden calf, thus angering the true God. Do y'all hear me? Because whenever we put something before God, it angers him. I move for her time and time again. But here she goes, putting that thing before me again. When he called upon me, I answered him, I helped him, I sent him relief. And there he goes, putting things before me. Make us a calf to carry us back into Egypt or into bondage. Look at the significance of Moses receiving the Ten Commandments, and the people's mind was on playing or idolatry. Y'all hang in there. Be patient with me. Just like the church today. On this holy, sacred occasion. Here we go again with our Easter bunnies. Here we go again with our colorful eggs. Idolatry. When we should be looking at the empty tomb, realizing that it gave me the power to walk in the newness of life. You want to hide eggs and have fun. See, the church done got quiet. Because the bunny, the Easter bunny, is idolatry. I said it is idolatry. I said it is idolatry. And see, you can never pinpoint. Y'all need to understand this. The devil. Because from the beginning of time, he has always learned to be clever in repackaging evil. It's the same thing. He just has it wrapped in something different. Oh, I'm teaching right, and there's some folk. I said he just repackages evil. The Bible teaches you there is nothing new under the sun. Same evil repackaged. Why the bunny rabbit? Even Hugh Hefner was quoted as saying, he chose the rabbit to be the Playboy emblem because in America, the rabbit, the bunny, had a sexual meaning. See, there's a reason some of you can't get delivered from sexual immorality. It is the idols you worship. It's the thing you bow to. It's the thing you won't leave. It's what you're not willing to walk away from that's going to kill you. See, the Canaanites worship Asheroth, the god of fertility. The rabbit is considered one of the most fertile animals when it comes to breeding. You better hear me. So Hugh Hefner chose the rabbit to represent the playboy. And here comes Satan, knowing he has to do something to get the people's mind off of resurrection. See, on folk mind right now, or what should be on folk mind, if we doing our job as Christians, is that Jesus died and rose again. That as he got up, you can get up and you can get out of sin. You can come out of bondage. You can come out of your mess. Why? Because he got up. Look at Jeremiah 10. Some of you can't handle much more. Look at Jeremiah 10. It's too strong for some of you. Jeremiah 10. And when churches do such, they're one or two things. They're ignorant, which is bad, or they're evil. It's not a house of God. Do you realize how we could have packed this place out? Doing in Newland, Georgia, on the west side, the biggest Easter egg hunt in the history of Newland. We have adult prizes. We have children prizes. And people, some folk gonna flock here to have what they consider fun. But see, church is not always the place for you to have fun, for you to be entertained. See, a word like this will cause people to desire to get up and leave the church. And say this right here, I will not be attending another Easter service there. If God help me, I will never. But see, what is your problem? You're hearing from God. And often when we hear from him, we don't like what he says. I know I'm right about it. People will get upset with you when you try to take or tell them to loose. See, sexual immorality is illicit sexual behavior. It is sexual behavior that God forbids. Now, see, church ain't down now. So if you need to get them, go down there. You need to go down to what church ain't down. And haven't we in time past, for lack of better words, loved ourselves some freaky sex? I saw you shooting down now. Why is he saying it? Because somebody's caught up in it now. The world will turn you out. And the reason you can't make your way back to God, why don't you tell the truth? Why don't you stop talking about church hurt and start talking about what you can't let go? What's got your nose, as the old folk used to say, wide open. This is the problem God has with homosexuality. It's forbidden. Don't care if you like it. Don't care if you're good at it. It's forbidden. If you are not married, wow! If you are not married, God says it is forbidden. I told you New Year's Eve night, the world is ascending into deep darkness. A lot of it surrounds sexual immorality. All of this sex trafficking. The Greek word for sexual immorality is porneia. Porn. Looking at what you shouldn't look at. Do you know that porn is one of the major causes of divorce and marital unhappiness, but nobody talks about it? You can't do what you're supposed to do when it's time to do it. I'm talking to me. Because of what you entertain, of what you set before your eyes. And so that makes you a minute man. And you're not able to do what God ordained for you to do. I'm finna close. The LGBTQ just passed the first law in the state of Washington State. Well, in 2025, in all public schools, they must teach LGBTQ history in all public schools. And all of it's coming this way. Don't you look at the media? Don't you see Hollywood? Don't you see how at an early age they try to sexualize our children? Jeremiah 10. I'm closing. See, intelligent saints will flee idolatry. Got to come out of it. Got to come away from it. Notice the problem. Jeremiah 10. I'm closing. I think I got two scriptures. I'm going to get out y'all way. Y'all, some of y'all, I'm in your way. But I'm going to yet do what God telling me to do. Jeremiah 10 and 1. Hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord. Do not learn the way of the Gentile or the way of the heathens or the pagans. See, the problem is once you learn the way of the heathen, the only way to flee idolatry is that you must unlearn what you learned. You must turn away from what you have been following. Why is that important? Isaiah 57. Oh, Lord. Talk to us, Pastor. I'm talking to you in this clothes. I'm talking loud. I'm talking clear. And I'm speaking with great boldness. Isaiah 57 and 13. This is the reason you can enter into some so-called houses of worship. And there is no power in the house to deliver because of the idols that men have set up in that place. And you can actually turn God's house into what God never ordained for his house to be. You remember what Jesus told them for in the gospel? He said, my house should be called a house of prayer. Come on, y'all. But you have made it a den of what? See, you made it that. You created it something. You turned it into something it never should have been. Every time you look at some churches now, you can't tell whether you're looking at a club or you're looking at a house of worship. And the sad thing with people is they sit in the congregation loving it. Dark sanctuaries. I don't want to go in no dark sanctuary. I want to worship in the dark. Women half dressed on the praise team. Come on, how is a true man supposed to worship? You got a sister up there showing all that. Well, if he's saved, he shouldn't be looking. Come on now. He saved us, but he didn't blind us. Isaiah 57, I'm coming in. See, because God ain't pleased with the church. And God ain't pleased with certain people. Because of your idols. Or your idolatry. Now notice what he says in Isaiah 57, 13. When you cry out, it's God telling Israel, you're going to need some help. Oh, you're going to need some help. You're going to need me. Oh, I wish some of y'all that ain't scared of folk would just tell somebody, say, you're going to need God. Y'all ain't preaching the way I want you to preach it. I need you to look at somebody else and tell them, you're going to need God. Woo, look at somebody else and say, I ain't scared of you. You gonna need God. Somebody shout it, I need God. If you mean it, shout, I need God. Look what God says to people. Somebody better listen. attend too many funerals. We attend too many services where people are putting folk in heaven who didn't live nothing on earth. Now, man can put you there, but you're really not there. Beware of deathbed confessions. Not saying God doesn't hear them, but he doesn't have to. When you spend all your life rejecting him, he don't have to listen to you in the car wreck. He doesn't have to listen to you when cancer shows up in your body. He doesn't have to listen to you. Nobody in here gonna get in trouble. Need deliverance. And go to PetSmart and buy you a rabbit. See, we put things before God and we think it's funny. Some of you won't give. You got all kind of excuses why you won't. But you have no problem taking money and doing other things with it. No problem at all. You'll pay $400 to go to an NBA game. Anything wrong with an NBA game? No, been to them. But when you don't do right by God, and you take money and go over there. See, one day God gonna tell you when you need deliverance, call the Lakers. Email LeBron. See, will he send you something? You know what the answer gonna be? You ain't gonna get a call back. See, some of you mad because you used to carry a rabbit foot in your pocket. See, it all ties in. Some folk wouldn't go nowhere without their rabbit foot. And see, somebody may have one in their pocket right now. Listen, I ain't gonna call you out. Only thing I'm gonna say to you, there's a trash can as soon as you walk out. To the right. Let's close it. Because I'm not playing. Because God ain't playing today. It's a serious word. I'm bringing it like it's serious. Isaiah 57:13. He said, when you cry out, when you need help, this God talking to his people, let your collection of idols deliver you. Don't call on me. Call on the one you put before me. You'll find in life that when you put people before God, them people betray you. Them people walk out on you. And they're the ones you put. I've seen women, I know I got to glow. I've seen women put men before God. I don't even have enough fingers to even count no more. And then the man turns around after she has left her God, after she has left her position, left her purpose, he turns around and treats her like a dog. You put in a man before God who ain't even faithful to you. But you don't know it. He redeemed us. I got to close. Woo! From something to something. Tell somebody what he redeemed you from. Don't cry over that. Tell your neighbor, because what he redeemed you to. Woo! Is way better than that which he redeemed you from. Preach that 247. What he redeemed you from where he's taking you to is better than what you gave up. Preach that to three folks. Tell me it's better. It's better over on this side. I need some witnesses. It's better over on this side. It's better to walk in the newness of life. It's better to have a new way of walking, a new way of thinking, a new way of talking, a new way of doing. What he redeemed us from, he redeemed us to better. I want somebody to receive that your best life is waiting on you. I'm closing. But I want somebody that's not saved to receive that your best life is waiting on you. What you mean waiting on me, Pastor, for you to leave or flee idolatry? There are saints in here. What God desires to do for you is waiting on you. Waiting for you to flee idolatry. Let me show you one thing and we'll close it. That the newness of life has to do with. It's one scripture and it's simple. 2 Corinthians. Remember, we are baptized into Christ Jesus. That just as he was raised from the dead, so we ought to walk in the newness of life. 2 Corinthians, then we done. 2 Corinthians, then we done. But see, I have to tell the truth. I have to say what he tells me to say. 2 Corinthians 5. This is going to sum up what this new way of living is all about. See, an intelligent saint is going to always flee idolatry because you know what you're leaving is not better than where you headed. Doesn't whenever God tell me to walk away from something, I ain't got no problem walking away from it because I know if God say walk away from it, then what I'm walking to is always better than what I left. It's always better. How, Pastor? Because he's God. Listen to me, youth, young adult. You just looking at your friends. You just looking at turning up. You just looking at, oh, we out here having the time of our life. Let me tell you how life works. Because as a young person, you need to hear this. God will start dealing with you, even though he ain't dealing with nobody else in your group. Many of us know that to be true. God will start dealing with you. And you'll look around and it's as if nobody in your circle is hearing what you're hearing. But what you're hearing is a call to better. It's an opportunity for you to walk in the newness of life. Nothing in this world is worth you putting it before God. And missing what he had. 2 Corinthians 5 and 15. And this is it. 2 Corinthians 5 and 15. Listen to it. It can't get any more simple. God wants you to know when you leave today. If you are in a new way of living. If you are in fact fleeing idolatry. 2 Corinthians 5 and 15. And he, notice the scripture carefully, a long message. Thank y'all for your patience. And he died for all. He died for who?
All.
He died for who?
All.
So you can't get caught up in this stuff making you think God just died for the black man. That's idolatry. Black people, y'all ain't gonna like it. You know I don't care. You gotta go, you're free to go. Black people are doing right now what white people did in slavery. Making they color a god. People don't even realize they're making their color a god. Most of the entertainers, the professional ball players and all of them, when they speak of God, most of them talking about Baal. Y'all don't understand. They're not talking about the true God. Because they don't live for him. I'm going to show you that they live for themselves. And now you got folk want to make black people think that you okay simply because you black. That's when I told y'all when it first came out, Black Lives Matter was the money. Some of y'all got upset with me. You didn't think I knew what I was talking about. Now you look. Ran by three lesbians. Number one person the Black Lives Movement hate, you can look it up, is Jesus. They hate him. What a passion. Don't let nobody play on you. And they're steadily, the devil evil, feminizing our men right before our eyes. And nobody wants to talk about it. Men are more weak today . Men were stronger in slavery than they are free. 75% of black men were married in slavery. Now the world got all of us most of us wanting to be whores. See, that's idolatry. That's what idolatry carries you to the destruction of yourself. Idolatry is the destruction of the family. Who ordained family? Who ordained family? What does idolatry do to family? It tears it down. Because it makes a man worship himself. And it makes a woman want to be a man. Woman, when you try to take your man's place, you worshiping yourself. You into idolatry and don't even know it. Now I got to close. 2 Corinthians 5. Y'all come back though. Look at my say, come back now. Some of y'all ain't even smiling. I understand. But this word going to come back. You heard from a true prophet. This word going to come back on you. 2 Corinthians 5:15. And he died for all. I'm making my way to this one church. That those who live should live. Watch this. He redeemed you from something to something. That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Tell your neighbor the new way of living. It's all about living for Christ and not yourself. Let's stand to give God a big hand of praise. Let's stand to give him a tremendous hand of praise. Intelligent saints will.
Pray that you are blessed by today's message. Be sure to listen and share other messages available through our podcast outreach. We thank you for all of your past, present, and future support for our ministry. And remember, Jesus is a refuge.